Where are you actually at the moment exactly?
I'm a member of Kibbutz Harel, and Harel is located between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. The marchers of the families of the hostages are on their way up to Jerusalem, and I hope to be joining them a little later, but we're about a half an hour away from Jerusalem.
Okay, I suggest we talk about that in a minute. But it was an acquaintance of ours that knows you, and you were actually on the show a couple of times about 10 years ago. So that's the background why we, how we know you. We don't know you very well. But you were born in the U.S. and then your parents migrated to Israel. How can you give some?
No. I came on my own when I was 19.
Okay.
And I'm now 68, so I've been here almost 50 years. I came with a socialist Zionist youth organization called Hashomer HaTzair, and it was established in 1913 in Poland. Mm-hmm. And then it spread all over the world. It's a very small organization, much smaller than other Zionist organizations, because it's bit more radical, more Zionist, more socialist. And I've been here on a kibbutz of Hashomer HaTzair since 1974.
Okay, 50 years next year. And So let's first talk about the 7th of October. How did you experience that? We haven't had anybody on the show with to talk about that.
I have children on, grown children on two other kibbutzim of Hashomer HaTzair, Kibbutz Arzi, and we were up visiting my daughter on kibbutz in Hamifratz, which is right across the road from Akko, which is north of Haifa. It's in the north. My partner woke me up in the morning. He said there's been an attack. Missile attack in the south, and then we went to my daughter's partner's family and watched television, and things were not clear, but what was clear was that there was a massive incoming missiles from Gaza, and thousands, I don't know, of incoming missiles were bombarding the south. And there, at the same time, there was a festival going on, and it was called Nova. It was an outdoor, rave where people danced throughout the night and then continued dancing throughout the day, and that a lot of casualties happened then. You probably have seen about, what happened there. And then at the same time, there are over a thousand Hamas terrorists who infiltrated. They were able to overcome the very weak, what we thought was very strong border protections for the kibbutzim, moshavim, and towns in that area. They were able to overcome the border and came in with the intent to kill as many civilians and take as many civilian hostages as they could. And they were successful. They absolutely were successful. They won that battle. Mm-hmm. So we have about 140 hostages in Gaza Strip somewhere, and nobody has seen them. There's been no sign of life.
Say 140 or 240? I thought it was 240.
240, mm-hmm. Right. 240 and 1,200 or more civilian casualties, and of course now soldiers are being killed daily. So that's our schedule. Is every day we wake up and they announce another death or two or three of our soldiers.
So you were not directly on a place that was attacked, but
people
who were.
No, but as soon as it happened that evening, we got a request from my son, who is a good friend of a woman a good friend of the son of a woman who lived on Kibbutz Kfar Aza, which was overtaken and burnt to the ground, basically. She had been in her protective room, which everybody has in that area because they only have 20 seconds to get into it when the alarm goes off. And she didn't want to go with the rest of her kibbutz, Kibbutz Kfar Aza, to where they were being taken. So in the middle of the night, she waited for my son to come and get her and bring her to us, and she spent a month with us. And she told us about her experience where she was in the protective bomb shelter for about 10 hours, and then she escaped from it when she didn't feel safe there anymore, and then hid in the bushes for a while, and then joined a friend of hers in her bomb shelter, and that friend knew Arabic, and she said that the terrorists who were outside said, let's keep on going. There aren't a lot of people here. It's be a waste of our ammunition. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when the army came, which took a long, long time, they were evacuated during the early dark hours of the morning.
And so then there was more than 12 hours after the attack, or... Is that right?
Yeah. No, yeah. she was hiding and running for her life. And her daughter was in the United States visiting her son, who is my son's friend. It's kind of complicated, but and her granddaughters, who were being taken care of by her son-in-law, and he was in the unit that were the first responders to the attack, got his two daughters, one with special medical issues, to friends, and they got them out safely through the fields to a town southeast of them, Mitzpe Ramon. Anyway, so the two children were okay, but this woman was married, and her ex-husband remarried and had a son and a daughter, and the son was with his mother in their bomb shelter, and they overcame them. She's his ex, her ex husband's second wife was crippled from surgery that went bad, and so she was in her wheelchair, and she was with her son, and the terrorists came in and killed them both. But it took many hours. They killed them with high-velocity guns, and so it took them about 5 days to determine who they were. That was the only funeral I went to. Mm-hmm. We took her there to the funeral.
Now, part of the tragedy is also that, for the people who would know, but we got the situation in the West Bank where you got these colonists who settle in an internationally not recognized territory, Palestinian territory. But the kibbutz we're talking about here is not the case. It's formal Israel. And some of the people killed were actually not right-wing Zionist extremists. Can you explain those, who some of the people were that were killed?
Extremists? In what way extremists?
Well, in the sense that like they go colonize Palestine for the Holy Land. I'm saying they're not...
People who were killed, that's the internationally recognized border of Israel, not occupied territory.
Yeah, but some of the people who were killed were actually, in a way you could say, supporting the rights of the Palestinians.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, but can you explain that a little bit? Because I'm not sure people are aware of that, right? So that if they were targeting anybody, some of the people that were definitely not the right ones.
Well, I don't know, but I don't want to say that we should determine who deserve to die and not according to their political opinions. But
yeah, but this is more the point that they were shooting in their own foot by doing whatever they did. And so
because this war is a lose-lose war. This war is a lose-lose war. There is no way that this war is going to... we've already lost the war, and the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have been suffering under Hamas's lack of true leadership for as long as they've been in power. They have only empowered themselves. They haven't strengthened the civil society in Palestine. I have friends in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, and in the West Bank. I'm against the occupation, but I am also against Hamas. Hamas is doing nothing for their people. They only built shelters for themselves, and so and I don't know if it's true that they've been using the Al-Shifa hospital as one of their launching pads. It's been yet to be determined, but they have not strengthened Palestinian society. If they had decided to make peace with Israel, the Palestinians would be in a far different situation, both in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. But Hamas only has one thing in mind, and they tried to fool us by saying that they have become more moderate, but they have not become more moderate, obviously. Yeah, there were people who were driving, like Vivian Silver, who was finally, her body was found after they thought she was taken hostage from Kibbutz Be'eri. She was a founder of many peace organizations, and the last one was Women Wage Peace, which is an organization of Palestinian Israeli women and Jewish Israeli women. And it's actually, it got its... It's ideas from the women's movement in Liberia. Its inspiration came from the women's movement in Liberia to stop the civil war.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a founder of that, and she was also driving sick people who couldn't get the kind of health services they needed to hospitals in Israel. She and another man who was Oded Lifshitz, whose wife was released, was also a person who drove Palestinians from Gaza into Israel and took them to hospitals for care. And a lot of people in Sderot, in the kibbutzim, in Ofakim, are against the policies of Israel vis-a-vis the occupation. But Hamas doesn't care about any of that. They don't want to push forward. If anything, it seems that they want the status quo to continue in order to keep on fighting, thinking that it will make us weaker.
Mm-hmm.
But we are a military power, you know, and because our civilians have been hurt, we are using all of the tools and none of the brains that we need to use for this kind of conflict.
Let's. I'd like to break, if that is okay for you, because I think we got still a lot to talk about, like the current situation and what's happening in Gaza at the moment. Which is the consequence of what you're just saying, is the response, and then maybe what to happen next. Is that okay? I'll suggest you stay online, and we'll have a 4-minute music break. Is that okay?
Sure.
Let me first, because I've got apparently something turned on, so turn that off. And yeah. So we'll be talking 4 minutes. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks. Redactietijd op Radio Centraal, Generation X, een demoversie van Revenge. Ik hoop dat we Aviva Weisgaal nog aan de lijn hebben. Aviva, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, welcome back. I would like to mention
my two friends who are being held hostage or are missing or are have been killed and not yet identified, Judy and Gadi Haggai from Kibbutz Neir Oz. Their kibbutz has about 75 of the hostages in Gaza Strip somewhere.
So from this single kibbutz?
From one single kibbutz. Mm. One out of four people were killed or taken hostage.
Yeah. So, but in the meantime, we're 15,000 dead on. So what is your, call it your pick on the situation now, what's happening in Gaza, and maybe also the others? I heard there were rockets being fired directed to Israel from Gaza yesterday.
Yeah.
But the main action, of course, is in the other direction, with the latest, I think, is the Al-Shifa Hospital being, evacuated forcibly. And so what is your how do you, because of this, very different narratives about what's happening, so what is your view on that?
Well, I'm not an expert. I'm a regular person living a very unregular life right now. The government wants to win a war, as if it's possible to win a war. There's no way to win a war. And they want to crush Hamas, and there's no way to crush, as we know, there's no way to crush Nazism or fascism because it's an idea. But you can get rid of the current leadership. This is possible. And hopefully make a stand to improve people's lives after Hamas, the leadership of Hamas, is defeated, if that's possible. I don't know. I think that a ceasefire on all sides should take place. All of the hostages should be freed, not the women and children only, but all of the hostages that have been taken should be freed, under the condition that will be a ceasefire, and go forward from there. I don't know if our government is strong enough to take up. There's no offer on the table right now, as such. I know that Amnesty International has called for a ceasefire on all sides. I know of all of the terrorist organizations and from the IDF, from Israel. But I don't know if anybody's talking about it. Qatar is a very powerful player in this whole thing, and it should be drawn in. And Egypt is a very powerful player, and it should be drawn in. They should be part of the solution if they really are concerned about civilian deaths in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip. And by the way, people in the West Bank are being killed. There are the Hamas militants, terrorists in the West Bank as well, and people are being killed there. And Hezbollah from the north is firing on my daughter and all of the areas that they can from Lebanon. Mm. So we are a country at war, and we are trying to defend ourselves, but we are also very aggressive because we have been hurt deeply. We've been cut deeply, and we have civilians in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip.
No, but from us as an outsider in safe Belgium, it's totally understandable. But when you're in the position of the Palestinians in Gaza, they would be struggling to find empathy with that, if you understand what I mean, because their situation is the situation for the people in Israel, although they're firing rockets and then there's a threat and there's unsafety, it's nothing compared to what happens on the other side.
Because the civilians in the Gaza Strip have no safe rooms, they have no bomb shelters. The only people that have bomb shelters are Hamas.
And so does so do you follow the government's logic that that is the only that is the issue and not
No, I'm
that
against this war. I'm against the war. I'm against the war. I'm against wars.
yeah, but the point is
But I.
about regardless even of the hostages, but that justifies
But that's the
bombardment.
whole issue. You understand?
Sorry?
The whole issue is the hostages. We cannot let them remain there without putting up a fight.
That's an interesting point because I understand, of course, for the Israeli that the people are there, but from an outsider's perspective, we got 240 hostages, Israeli hostages, mainly citizens, whose life is threatened, but we got about 200 people being killed in Gaza every day.
Okay, let me put it this way. Say a group of people who are living their lives, doing what they're supposed to do, paying taxes and going to work and doing as best as they could as human beings in Antwerpen, were taken by some sort of terrorist organization. Say 10 people. What do you think the mayor should do to the people who are responsible for taking 10 citizens of Antwerpen as hostages?
Do you agree with the response that the response is killing 100 from the area of your town where you think the hostage takers are?
You know, it's hard to make the equations. But I was just trying to like reach out and try to find out if people could put themselves in our situation. Because there are such a great variety of opinions in Israel. We're not in favor of Bibi's government. It's a far right-wing government. It got us into this problem. Even though Hamas had been planning this for a long, long time, but Bibi has been in power for the majority of the time that we have had the issues with Hamas, and has not taken a step forward to make it a more peaceful situation, has not done anything. He's jumped over Hamas to court Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Morocco, Algeria, Turkey. They skipped over the most important factor for the future of our country and future of our region is the Palestinians. And they're avoiding it like the plague. They don't want to make any give any exit. They don't want to give away land that has been taken away from the Palestinians in the West Bank. They don't want, they didn't want, and now they do want to have the Palestinian Authority take over for Hamas. But the Palestinian Authority doesn't have a big chance because now Hamas is, you know, the underdog in the Palestinians' eyes. But the thing is, nobody has seen our hostages except for the Hamas. The World Health Organization doesn't know what their situation is, but are making statements about the situation, which is obviously a tragic, devastating situation in Gaza Strip. It's been destroyed.
Do you think it would make any difference if, let's say, Hamas liberates the prisoners, maybe in exchange for nothing or whatever, maybe the thousands of Palestinians in the Israeli prisons? Would it make any difference for Gaza? Because that's what's happening there, and the number of people killed in Gaza. Because that's, for outsiders, probably the bigger issue.
I think any step forward would make a difference.
Because
You know,
now,
war is not a
when,
step forward in my ideas, in my eyes.
because if I would have expected, if like the Al Shifa Hospital after it was taken over by the Israeli army, that the medical facilities would be reestablished and electric power and all that, but what's happening is that it's being emptied and people are being told to move.
Because they, you know,
I mean,
don't know,
there's no more Hamas there, right? Even if they were there, they're gone.
Okay, but they want to establish facts. They want to see, they want to show the world if it's true that Hamas has been using the hospital as a shield for their activity. You understand?
Yeah, but you have to let in third party observers for that.
That's right. You do.
But have they?
And so where
and,
are they?
And regard,
are they
yeah.
there? Not even, the journalists aren't even third party.
Yeah, but do you
the
even
need... The journalists came into Israel with Hamas and were fighters as well as journalists.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
No.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And ambulances were being used to take terrorists from place to place. And that's also illegal under international law.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I found that out.
So are you saying because that's a justification for, because that's not like it sounds.
No, I don't justify any of it. It's painful. It's very, very painful, but it's just the simple truth. It's just what is happening, what they're doing, you know, it's against the international law to attack civilians, and they're doing it daily. We are too.
Now, how do you look upon the different protests in the US and in Europe? And now I see two kinds more specifically. One again, one side we've got the Jewish protest against the way Israel wages the war. If not now, for example, and Jewish Voices for Peace. And on the other hand, pro-Israel, that's how it's framed in the US, and against anti-Semitism, how it's framed in Europe. And I'm asking about that one because in the US there was a protest pro-Israel against anti-Semitism, and we had John Hagee there, an evangelical fundamentalist who has rather strange justifications to support Israel. So I'd look upon these two movements.
With friends like these, we don't need enemies. But I started out this interview telling you that I'm from a very small socialist Zionist organization, youth movement. Those are my roots. And there were also a block of people who are from the left wing who are calling for a ceasefire, who are calling for justice for the Palestinians, and also participated. I think that small voices that are very insistent on being heard can go far. I'm hoping that this radio station will be able to, that I'll be able to share it with as many people as I can, and that small voices that are calling for this insanity to end and for justice for the Palestinians will be heard, as well as justice for Israel. Because, I'm not here because I have no choice. I came from the United States. I had a choice. I made it, and I've been here for almost 50 years. But a lot of Jews from all over the world don't have a choice. Jews from Ethiopia, Jews from Libya, Jews from Yemen, they came here because they had no other choice. They were evicted, and they had to come here. And Israel is that as well. And... And it's also important for us culturally.
What do you think are the plans by the Israeli government in terms of, because all the population of Gaza is pushed to the south, and I think even documents have been found that say that the plan was to force Egypt to basically allow them into Egypt, and so that the Palestinian
that's
problem...
That's not going to happen because they don't want to have... They were in charge of the Gaza Strip. It was part of their territory. And they said, no, thank you, you take it.
But the point is more, should it happen? Is it relevant? Because most of the people from Gaza, they came from what is now Israel. So if they have to fly to go anywhere, the logic answer would be, let them go back. Because you say, you're talking about the Jews who were forced out.
Is to it, go it, back to where?
Well, to to where the ancestors came from, to what is currently Israel.
To where?
To Israel.
The Palestinians in the Gaza Strip?
Well, because if they are being forced out for whatever reason, they're not allowed to live there because the whole area has to be cleansed from Hamas. And there's a plan to push them or evacuate them from Gaza. Then the only option that seems to be the possible one is send them to Egypt, while the more logical one...
not even letting the refugees go in. They're not allowing... They never did any humanitarian... Yeah.
But you think it is their role? Is that what you're saying?
Do I think it's their role?
Well, because most of the population from Gaza... They are the daughters and sons and grandchildren from people who used to live in what is now Israel.
Listen, we're talking about something that might be possible in another 20 years if there's peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about something that is my dream, a shared area, a shared region. That is my dream. But that's, first war has to be done away with, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how people in Flanders and the French-speaking part of Belgium, how they got along. I know that they didn't always, and there was a war that took place, World War II, that broke people away from one another. And eventually there was some sort of peace, and people are allowed to speak their languages and have their cultures and enjoy expressing themselves in their own language. But we have to have peace, a long-term peace situation for anything more beautiful than what we have now to take place.
And you started our conversation saying that you're probably going to participate in an action for that today. So can you explain what it's...
No, in solidarity with the hostage families.
Okay. And what are their demands? Is it because
they... bring them home.
Yes.
Simple and...
But then...
Bring them all home.
Yeah, yeah. There's no further... there's no further demands in how that should be done or specific action. It's just government...
Well, I know that a lot of people say that Bibi should step down. A lot of people from that group, because the kibbutzniks and whatnot, people who are against Bibi before all this happened, they mm-hmm. haven't changed much in their political opinions. But I think that they said ceasefire, give them all of their hostages that are in our prisons in Israel back to Hamas, and have them return all of our hostages that are alive back to us.
Yeah. Okay, Aviva, thanks for talking to us. Is there any last word or last comment you want to make before we say goodbye?
Well, I appreciate a show of solidarity anytime that somebody asks me my opinion and allows me to speak my mind and is empathetic. Maybe you can't understand everything, but is empathetic towards human beings is appreciated, and so I thank you so much for your time and for your efforts.